Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This song has been in my spirit a few weeks. How many of you know God will prepare you for things that you're going to go through? Things that your family are going to go through? God will prepare you. And God used that song to prepare me for a heavy battle. And tonight, I pray that you would understand that there is a warrior inside of you. That warrior is great and mighty through the power of God. That warrior can accomplish and do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That warrior is King Jesus that lives in you. Amen. King Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated this evening. Give somebody a high five and say, "Hi, warrior." Hallelujah. Well, tonight I want to thank God, of course, for his keeping power upon my life. I've been in this battle for over 40 years, and God has strengthened me through his power all the way, every part of it. And I want to thank our pastor for giving me the privilege to speak. He's not only my husband, he's my pastor, and I'm so grateful for his leadership. And this evening I want to thank God for all of you. It seems like a lot of you are wanting to hear what God has. There's a lot of you here tonight. Wednesdays are getting better and better. Amen? Hallelujah. We're excited about that. You know, if you know me, one thing I think you can recognize about my preaching or the way I am or who I am is that I am a warrior, that I have learned the principles of fighting, the good fight of faith. I think you'll know that that's something I'm always teaching you. Like, you can get through this. You got this. God is with you. God is greater. I'm always preaching like that. I think you'll know that I'm always trying to teach that you should know who you are in Christ because you're mighty and you're great. That you should know that there is a fight inside you, but God is the victor. Amen. That you should stand for truth and not put up with the devil. That you should never be moved by your circumstance. Because we're going to have some circumstance. Can I hear an amen? There's going to be some circumstance. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some tribulations. But when you got saved, Jesus prophesied over your life. He said, "You are no longer so-and-so, but now you are a man or a woman of God, and I have enlisted you in the army of God, and I'm going to equip you to get through this life." You have examples that go before you every single day that have shown the way for you. So there is no reason why you should doubt God. Amen? But we all do. Someone once said, "You will respond to your trials with peace when you understand God's grace." That's a good one. That's a good amen one right there. You will respond to trials with peace when you understand God's grace. Listen, I know God's grace. I know it was his grace that picked me up out of the pit. It was his grace that delivered me. It's his grace that taught me to stand for him. And when you can understand mercy and grace, then you will feel honored to be in his army. You will look at trials differently. You'll look at circumstances differently, not like, "Oh no, not again. Not again, God." But you'll look at it like, "God is entrusting me with this one. This might be a big one, but God's entrusting me with it. And he's going to bring me through." He entrusts us with his weapons of war. We all know what that is. The armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Our loins are girded with truth. He gives us the gospel of peace upon our feet. Amen? That we can tread upon the enemy. He gives us a full armor. And many times we don't put it on every day. We walk out the door and we're uncovered and the enemy knows it. But even when you are covered, there's going to be some things that you go through. Recently, one of the most biggest battles that I have faced in a while was the birth of my grandson. Now, my daughter had three miscarriages, So she conceived by faith. God gave her a child. And I knew the enemy was going to mess around. I knew it. I knew all through the pregnancy. So all the time I was interceding and standing and praying and believing with her. But early in the pregnancy, I went with her to an ultrasound. And I saw a little warrior. And I am not even lying to you. At 8 weeks, you usually can't see a baby doing anything. But Rocco put on a show on that ultrasound. He did a little dance to, like, let us know I'm here, I'm okay, and I'm going to make it. And I told my daughter, that was God speaking to you through that child. He's a warrior already. So you have to stand and believe that he's going to come through all the way. And when it came time for his delivery, she didn't labor for 1 hour, 2 hours. I believe Natalie went through the same thing. 33 hours of labor. She was exhausted by this time. And it felt like there was no strength in her. And I know there wasn't. And they finally gave her a little bit of medicine that helped her relax. And she fell asleep in between contractions. And I rose up in the spirit. I have been praying the whole 30 hours. But that last hour, I rose up in the spirit, and her and Maddie were asleep, and I began to march in that room. And I began to remind the devil who he was messing with. I said, you are messing with a child of God, first of all. He belongs to God. Rocco was given to them by God, and you're messing around. Because his heart rate kept going down and down and down. And they didn't know what was going to happen. One of the times a nurse accidentally hit the emergency and everybody in that hospital ran into the room. That's when I knew there were some serious things. And I said, nope, no more. No more, devil. And I just began to pray and stand. How many know that sometimes you have to stand for your loved ones and they don't have the strength? And I just began to stand and to pray and begin to war. And everybody was warring. I text all my prayer warrior friends and family, and I said, let's pray, let's stand. We're not going to let the enemy have his way. And finally, it came time for her to birth the baby, and his heart was really in trouble at this point. And I got underneath my daughter's arms, and I said, you are a warrior. Do you understand me? It's time. This is the time. There's no messing around. This is time. It's the time is right now. And every doctor and nurse was looking at me like, whoa. Even Maddie, my son-in-law, was like, whoa. But I needed to gird her with strength. How many of you know there'll be times when you need to be girded with strength? And it's a supernatural strength that only comes from God. And all of a sudden, we just went into another realm of warfare. He was born. Thank you, Jesus. Took him a minute to breathe. He was pretty covered, you know, and in blood and drinking some of it. And the enemy was just, you know, sounds kind of gory, but you need to know the story in order to understand the glory of God. Amen. And God just miraculously brought this child to breathing and crying, and the victory began to happen. The victory began to happen. And to God be the glory. I left from that room that day feeling like I was the one that had a child. I was so beat up. I was tore up from the floor up. I was beat up from the feet up. And I just went to my bed and laid down. I was done. But I realized that I wasn't in an ordinary fight. I realized that I wasn't in just a normal delivery. I realized that since the time Rocco was conceived, the enemy wanted to take him out. I realized that that was a metaphor also of what's happening today. God showed me. There are so many believers that the enemy is trying to take out. He's trying to steal your faith. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal your peace. And you're letting him, because you have not unleashed the warrior within you. This fight is not an easy fight, but he entrusts us to enlarge our capacity, to grow our endurance, to get us to go deeper with him, our capacity to fight the good fight of faith. And the person we're going to talk about tonight is probably one of my favorite two people in the Bible, is Paul and Timothy. Paul, how many of you know who Paul was? Paul was a blasphemer. He hated God. He mocked God. He mocked Christians. He always came against the Christian. When he gave his life to the Lord, it wasn't voluntarily, because he was so stubborn and so called by God. He had to go through it. Amen. So as he's on his horse, I call it a high horse, literally gets knocked off his high horse and goes blind. We don't know the time, how long he was blind. All we know is he went into the men's home. He went into the home. He went into a home where he was discipled and he was trained how to be a warrior. And when he came out of that home, he was indeed a warrior. His life was transformed from night to day. From just like that, totally transformed by the power of God. So he became a giant in the faith. Now he's imparting to Timothy, his son, and he's discipling his spiritual son how to be a warrior as well. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. And for the sake of time, I'm going to begin to read. He says to him, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you might fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, with which some have rejected, so have suffered shipwreck in regard to the faith. Among them was Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Now, I know you kind of freak out with that last one a little bit, like, oh my God, is that how bad it can get? But I like that he gave his spiritual son the worst case scenario. He wanted him to understand that losing your faith in God and losing your fight for your faith could end up in a circumstance where you would actually become a blasphemer of God. And that word blaspheme and handed over to Satan means that there is a connotation in there saying that there is a redemption that can happen, a turnaround, mercy, amen, God's grace, that he'll allow you to go to through certain things, but it's not going to be forever. Amen? But he allows things to get us back to that place. And I love what he's telling Timothy. He's reminding him in this scripture, you are a warrior, Timothy. You are a warrior. It was prophesied over you to do a certain thing. And at the time that he's speaking this, there was blasphemy going on in the land. Oh, there was all kinds of havoc, and there was all kinds of confusion and discord. And he was reminding him, God is raising you up, Timothy, right now to stand in truth against what's happening. And so he tells him, you have to hold on to your faith and good conscience. You have to fight this good fight of faith and fight it well. Apparently, Timothy had been going through some stuff. Apparently, Timothy, the enemy was trying to surround him with doubt and with fear, like all of us go through at times. Apparently, he was growing weary in his faith. How many of you know when you've been in the battle a long time, your faith can get cloudy? And you can grow a little weary. And at this point in Timothy's life, there was some things happening around him. But he gave him that worst case scenario to remind him that the devil doesn't play. If he sees an open door, he's going to push it all the way open. And he's reminding him that God is greater in your life, Timothy. God has the power, Timothy, to rise up from this place and to stand against this blaspheme against God. That blaspheme, they were beginning to swear and turn away from God and say things negative about God. And he wanted Timothy to rise up in the power of God and to stand against that. How many of you know that's where we're at right now? We're at a time and a place where God wants us to rise up in the authority and the power that he has given us against the enemy. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We're not going to go war with these people in the flesh and blood. But when somebody sees a man or a woman standing for truth and they are not being moved by their circumstance and they see a warrior, they are blown away, and it's a testimony. Amen? It's a testimony that you're not gonna give up. You're not giving in. I don't care what's around us. We're not gonna give in. In our walk, we're gonna go through things. We're gonna be tested. Our faith is gonna look like we don't have any faith at all. We're gonna feel so little sometimes to the big problems. But what God wants us to do is get into the big God clothes. And then the problems look small. Too many times we're walking in little clothes, our clothes, and the circumstance is huge. It's big. And it's opposite. When we get under the shadow of the Almighty God, He becomes our refuge and our strength. Amen? There is nothing too great for our God. We're going to have to fight for our faith right now. We're in a time where we have to fight. There is stuff surrounding us, but it doesn't have to affect us. We have to choose. The way we choose our fight determines our outcome. 2 Corinthians 10:3, I already said it. We don't fight a physical fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. Hold on to the eternal life to which we're called. And when we made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And all through Timothy, he's reminding them. We have eyes on us at all times. We have a mark on our back. We do. But again, if we're covered and we're under the anointing of God, God will always win. Our faith demonstrates the strength of our relationship in God. So three things I want us to look at tonight in this scripture. Because how many of you know that sometimes we just need our leaders to give us a spiritual smackdown and to remind us of who we are? I know I need spiritual smackdown sometimes. I just need it. It's just the way it is. And God will send my husband or he'll send a leader and I'll just be like, okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, I got it. To remind us that we are warriors and we have the power of God. Paul reminds Timothy the first thing is to battle well. How is it that we battle well? What do we do when to say we're battling well? We use the right words at the right time. That's a good battle plan right there. That we're not speaking out of term ahead of God or, you know, speaking out of the side of our neck, but that we actually trust Him for the right words. We might not want to battle at times. We might want to ignore the fight. We might want to hope it would go away, but it won't go away because it's meant for you to gain something in it. It's meant for you to grow in this time. It's meant for you to give God the glory. So we have to fight instead of fear, we have to fight with faith. Instead of speaking negative, we have to speak those things that aren't as though they were instead of responding in the flesh. Sometimes we just have to walk away and take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and say, God, I need you right now. I don't want to respond in this flesh. In this flesh, I'm going to say some ugly things. In this flesh, I'm going to confess some things that are not. But I want to speak those things that aren't as though they were. I want to speak your word. I want to confess it. I want to prophesy. I want to speak the word of God over this situation because that's your best battle plan right there. You have a sword in your hand. The Bible says that the word of God is quick. It's sharp. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce between spirit, soul, joint, and marrow and discern the intents and thoughts of your heart. And when God gets a hold of your heart with the word and corrects you, that's the best correction. You have to swing your sword. How about singing a song? That's what this was all about. Singing a song. Singing a song of praise unto God. Thanking Him in advance. Worship is your weapon. That's fighting well. When you begin to worship God, recently we had to tell somebody, quit speaking those things. You're a worshiper now. Start to worship. And so as that person began to worship God, began to love on God, began to thank God for who he is and worship him, those things fell off of them and faith arose. Fighting with worship builds our courage to fight. It strengthens our faith. It brings a warrior out in us. It gives us a supernatural strength. It tells us and reminds us, as Paul did, you are a warrior. Fight the good fight of faith and fight it well. You have to march into the enemy's camp and say, give me back my kids. Give me back my joy. Give me back my peace. Give me back my strength. Give me back my dignity. Give me back my money. I just paid my tithes, devil. Give me back my money. You're not going to try to take my money, because when I give and sow into the kingdom of God, God promises me I'm going to be taken care of. So give me back my money. And I'm not talking about your tithe. You gave it to God. I'm talking about what's left, what he wants you to spend it on, the unnecessary things, the things that don't matter, or just wipe it out foolishly. Hold on to the right things. Hold on to the right things. You have to begin to say, God, it may look like I'm surrounded by fear, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I can't pay my bills, but you have all the money I need, God. It may look like my marriage is in trouble, but God, you are going to speak to my husband or my wife, and you're going to intervene, and you're going to heal and turn things around, because you are a miracle-working God. All you need is a Holy Ghost revival all by yourself in your own living room. You don't need to come to church, even though, I mean, you do need to come to church, but to get it. You need to get your breakthrough at home on your knees. That's the best breakthroughs I have ever received, is when I'm alone with God or I'm in my car driving and I'm telling the devil, get out of my way. Not the traffic, but the devil. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. I belong to God. God is greater. He's going to handle this. He's on my side. He's on my side. The best breakthroughs you will ever have will be alone with God. People might even think you're crazy. They must have thought I was crazy. I was praying pretty loud in that hospital room. And I was marching around. And when we walked around, I was praying in the spirit. And they probably thought I was a little crazy, but I don't care. I was fighting for something. Amen? So you have to learn how to fight like a warrior, not a wimp. A wimp would say, oh, no, I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that. That's crazy. You know, I want to look cool. You know, I'll mess my hair up or my makeup. And I don't know, you know. I better look cool right now. Forget about looking cool. Put on your war clothes, pick up your sword, and tell the devil he's a liar. Tell him where he belongs, under your feet. That's where he belongs, under my feet. Write it on your shoes. Tell him every day, you belong under my feet. You cannot, you will not have your way. God wins every time. The second thing he tells Timothy is hold on to your faith. Paul is telling Timothy, as I'm telling you tonight, there are going to be times where your faith is rocked. There's going to be times you're going to feel alone. There's going to be times where you don't feel like doing it. But God says hold on to it. Determine that no matter how it feels, you're going to hold on tight. That's the only time your fist should be clenched, is when you're holding on tight to your faith. Not on holding on to things, because things, heaven and earth, can pass away, but his word won't. And so when you're holding on to your faith, you're saying, I believe, God. I trust you, God. I will not be moved, God. I need you, God. I need you. That's the time to clench your fist, not at him like that, but to clench and say, I'm holding on tight, God. I don't feel it, but I'm holding on. Hold on to your breakthroughs. Hold on to your victories. Hold on. Don't let go. And the third thing he says is keep a good conscience. A sense of right and wrong. Obedience to your conscience. Amen? A sense of right or wrong. Be obedient to your conscience. Keep the integrity above all. Because there is going to be temptation that's going to knock at your door. But you can... Bible says he'll make a way of escape. He will make a way out. He'll give you the endurance to run. He gave it to Elijah. He ran from Jezebel. He gave it to Joseph to run from the evil queen. He gave it to David in the lion's den. He gave it to Deborah when she stood up and as a woman warrior and with her leader and says, I'll go into battle with you. She didn't run from the battle. She ran into the battle. And God wants us to run in fearlessly because he's with us, but with good conscience, knowing that we believe and we trust that our God is able. Nothing brings out the warrior in me more than when my integrity is being threatened. Because I have fought for my good name in Christ. We have fought for our good name in this church. And nothing gets under my skin more. And I know that battle is not in the flesh. But there's been times where I've laid out in the spirit and say, God, I don't like that. That's not true. That's not right. What they're saying about us, what they're saying about you, what they're saying about the ministry, God, it's not true. It's not right, God. Oh, you're going to handle our enemies, God. You're going to do it, God. You're going to take care of business. I want to fight in the flesh, but you're going to handle it, God, because you're greater than anything. And what you established, there is no weapon formed against it. Amen. And every tongue that arises against it in judgment, you will condemn. God is the greatest victor in our lives. He's going to condemn things that the enemy is trying to put against you. But it's holding on to that integrity, because that's all we have in Christ, is who we become. We aren't that no more. We're not that liar. We're not that cheat. We're not that person anymore. We are a man and a woman of God standing in faith. And your integrity will be tested, but God will make a way out for you. The Bible says that we'll know each other by our fruit. Oh, you can see weaknesses and flaws in people's lives, and I'm sure they're seen in mine every day. But if you know me by the Spirit, or if you know each other by the Spirit, you will know that in there lives the Holy Spirit who's in control. In there you know that there's fruit that's being birthed every day. Every day people are working on bearing good fruit. Hold on to that good faith that God has given you, that good name. Hold on to that fruit. We need each other. Can you say amen? Don't ever become that one who, in order to feel better about themselves, tries to destroy another person. That's all that blasphemy is about. People don't like, you know, when they're caught in their sin or they're messed up or they're struggling, so they're going to talk bad about the home. They're going to leave the home, talk bad about the home, the directors. It's the church. They didn't love me. It's this person. It's that person. Take responsibility for your own actions. Go to God. Let him fix you. Don't let that bitterness get in your heart, because it will destroy somebody's integrity. It will destroy them. We're not out to destroy them. Today, one of my precious disciples showed me total. Oh my gosh. It was a text from hell. That's what I'm going to call it. It was evil, what somebody tried to tell her. And she says, right back, God bless you. I don't know who you are. Of course, it's incognito. And of course, they're not going to put their name, because nobody with real courage puts their name there. And no name, no nothing. And she just handled it right. But she was like, look at this. And I said, well, it's just the devil. He's mad at you. He hates your guts. He doesn't like you at all. And he's trying to mess you up today. But you're not going to allow that, right? No, I'm not. And she didn't. Takes courage to stand when you're being talked about, when your faith is being talked about, when you are crazy to your family. They're like, you're not going to come to our family party because we're drinking? What? Why? Or you're not going to come to our family party because you're a Christian? Why? No, it's not. You're not going to be a judgmental Christian. You're just not going to put yourself in that position. Amen? You're not going to put yourself in that position because you're standing for what you believe. Those kind of people, those blasphemy kind of people, are just like these two men. And Paul wanted Timothy to remember they didn't fight their fight well, Timothy. They ended up like this for a reason. And I don't want you to end up like that. And as your pastors, we don't want anybody to lose your battle, to lose your fight for faith. We don't want you to lose that. We want you to win and be victorious. Time after time, you're going to hear messages telling you that you are able to overcome. Don't agree with the enemy. Don't allow him to take you down. You can't let them steal your joy. You can't let the enemy take your victory. You can't let him take your integrity. You have to fight for what you stand, what you believe in. You believe God's called you, then fight for it. Tonight, we're going to end this message with this song again. Because I want you to know, as the worship team comes, I have a few more things to say. That we can stand with you and we can encourage you. We can root for you, but we can't fight your battle. If you don't understand that tonight, you're going to always expect somebody to fight your battle for you. God has given specific, tailor-made battles for each one of us. Because he wants to give you a personal victory. He wants you to know how mighty he is, how great he is, how he can bring you through any circumstance, how he can provide for you. He wants you to know him personally. So there's personal battles designed just for you. And we can stand with you and we can fight with you, but we can't fight your battle for you. We can't. Every battle you win in Christ will give you a battle scar. And if you could see some of your leaders, they're covered from head to toe with battle scars. But every single battle scar that I have ever received personally was not in vain at all. Even the hardest things that I've ever had to go through were not in vain, because they built my character. They built my faith. They strengthened me like nothing could ever strengthen me. And they were personal. I feel like I've been hit personally in my walk with God. But God has shown himself to me personally. And I am a woman warrior. And you are a warrior. You are somebody to be reckoned with. The devil's scared of you. Once you say yes to Jesus, the devil, he's scared of you. You become a threat to him. Because he knows who you serve. And who lives in you, and what kind of power is in you. It's not arrogance to say that you're a warrior. It's not arrogance to say, I am an overcomer. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're proclaiming the victory in Christ, not in your own. You're not saying, I did this all by myself. That would be pride. That would be blasphemy. But when you give God the glory, when you give God the praise for what he brings you through, and you thank him in advance for the victory, he is going to be glorified. When you have the right motives, as Timothy had, but his father, his spiritual father, just had to remind him, I know who you are, Timothy. I know who you were when you got saved. I know the influences that were in your life. I know your grandmother and your mother influenced you. Isn't that awesome? Women, that's something to praise God about, that God would acknowledge those kind of women in the Bible, influencing Timothy, one of the greatest warriors. Amen? That's awesome. But that's neither here nor there, because he had many, many influencers, and the greatest influencer was the Holy Spirit that lived in him. And Paul knew this. Paul knew that Timothy knew the anointing of God. He had experienced the anointing of God. He had experienced it, and he said, just value that anointing, Timothy. Value those things that God has put in your life. Hold on. You have to hold on. We need you, Timothy. And I tell you tonight, we need you, Victory Outreach Albuquerque. We need each and every one of you to help us win this city for Christ. Because there's a hurting world out there. There's so many hurting people out there. Every day you pass them. Every day you talk to them. So if they can see that there's a real Christian with real war clothes on that can help them stand in faith, they're going to go to you. They're going to run to you for help. Stand with me tonight. I believe that the Lord is saying, how many of you are going to stand for your faith? Make a true decision to stand for your faith like never before. This is being a true warrior. That you would stand against the powers of darkness in the armor of God, knowing that He has you covered and that you will not be moved, that you will declare His promises over your life, and that no matter what it looks like, no matter how things look, you will declare that you're surrounded by Him. This evening, as we make this altar call, we're going to begin to sing this song. And as you make this altar call to either get your fight back or to get back in the fight of faith or to just tell the devil where he belongs, I pray that you clothe yourself in this song tonight, that it gets deep in your spirit, that you learn how to fight like a warrior, that you're not moved anymore in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there's some warriors about to be birthed. Fight my battle.
Come on, lift your hands and say it. It might look. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight.
Come on, in the spirit. I want you to say that. It might look.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Oh.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
One more time, let me hear you say.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
You know.